First of all, the plan. So, sorry, the handout is low quality. I mean, but you know, I just prepared it last night. You know, it's 3 days to the end, and I have way more than the materials that fits in 3 days, and I have to apologize. I thought everybody will come out of this class a complete expert on everything, and at the most, the last few bits will be just tastes. And I'm sorry, I don't know what to say. Anyway, so the plan is today to finish the KBH meta story, so the knotted balloons and hoop or meta group story. The story is missing a Y. And then in the morning, and then afternoon session one. So first of all, Esther will show us a very quick part of her movie, of one of her movies, and then I will very, very briefly go through the theory of braids in this context and explain that basically everything works and well. Okay? And then in the last afternoon hour, Philippe will talk about braids, or maybe also tangles, it's up to him, on genus one. So instead of movies of points moving in the plane, it will be movies of points moving on a torus. Maybe he will also talk about higher genus, I don't know. But mostly everything works, I shouldn't say everything, but there are odd twists. The degrees are not what you expect them to be. Things behave strangely, and it doesn't quite fit in my picture. So that's why I want him to talk about it, because I want more and more reminders that it doesn't fit in my picture. Okay, and then afterwards, we'll have a movie night with Esther. So this is not an official part of this class. Nevertheless, we will meet at 4:30 and watch the remainders of the movie. So it's movie night, okay? You know, bring popcorn. Anyway, for tomorrow, I plan to do three rushed sessions on Alexeyev Torossian, Enriquez Kashiwara Verne. Enriquez, I think, is Z at the end. And then Karine will be talking very briefly about flat knots at the very end. And then on Friday, I will tell you everything I know about V knots, and we will be done by 10:30, because I know very little. No, maybe I will be able to say a little more, but unfortunately, I don't know enough. Anyway, as for today, so first of all, I owe you to rescue myself from the trouble I got myself into in at the very end. And when I thought about it, I actually learned something that fits in an algebraic topology class in sort of the first week or so, maybe the second month, okay? But I just learned the following thing. So, you know, there is always pi 1 of x. Whenever you have a topological space, there is pi 1 of x, which is the set of homotopy classes of maps from S1 into x, and it's a group. Likewise, there is pi 2 of x, which is homotopy classes from S2 into x, and it's a group. And why aren't people looking at pi subtube of x, which is homotopy classes of tubes into x with a base point, where I insist that the entire top and bottom rim of the tube go to the base point? I mean, it's a group just as well, because, right, you can compose such maps by stacking tubes on top of each other. And it seems to be a new group. It's neither pi 1 nor pi 2. So it's sort of it's at least a good exercise to put next time on a sheet next time you teach algebraic topology. Okay? So anyway, the answer is that a tube is a wedge, or a pinched tube, right, it's pinched because the ends have to go to the base point, is the wedge of an S1 of an S2, like I mentioned yesterday. Therefore, homotopy classes of tubes into a topological space are the same as a homotopy class of a circle, comma, a homotopy class of a sphere. But that's not all of homotopy theory. Homotopy theory is not just the classes, it's also the group structure. And then the claim is that the group structure is the semi-direct product of pi 1 and pi 2. Remember that pi 1 acts on pi 2. Okay? So this is an exercise in homotopy theory, and you're welcome to do it yourself. I actually didn't do it. I only did the part of it that, or I only did the embeddings analog of it, which I failed to do yesterday. So let me remind you what happens with embeddings. So are you okay? I mean, isn't it lovely? Sorry, I was kind of amused yesterday that I discovered something I didn't know about so low-level topology. Anyway, so let me remind you, we were talking about knotted balloons and hoops. So hoops are one-dimensional things. Balloons are connected to infinity by strings, and this is just another symbolic notation for them. The stuff inside, so the stuff outside the rectangles that I'm drawing is infinity. Okay? The stuff inside the rectangles that I'm drawing is completely knotted. So they are knotted in unpredictable ways. So you cannot do operations. If you do operations, they have to be external to the box. You cannot do anything external to the box, with one exception. And I'll come to the exception in a minute. Okay? So anyway, what are the operations? I can do the head multiply or hoop multiply. And this is to merge two balloons. Sorry, to merge two hoops, which really just means that you add on the outside a little cup in between them, a little string connecting them, and then you let it slip into the inside. Okay? Then there is tail multiply or balloon multiply, which really means that you connect two of these lollipops to make it sort of a double lollipop. And you see, I drew it as a line, but what I really mean is an infinitesimally thin, not infinitesimally, a thin tube. Okay, so you see, this line actually has a width, and here the width is intended. This is really a tube, so the whole thing is again a sphere. And that's the analog of multiplication in pi 2. And here is the exception. So you cannot walk in the dark where stuff is knotted and there are dinosaurs and I don't know what else, monsters of all other kinds. But if you have a guide, you can. Okay? So basically, you can take the string of balloon U and let it go around, or let Y guide it in the inside. Okay? Or a different way of saying it is, I could take the line for Y, double it, make one of the copies into a thin tube. Now I have a red thin tube going from here to here, and then connect it with a cap to the balloon U, and then let the connection float into the unknown, you know, the dark parts. Okay? So these are the operations I have. Are you okay? Now, you know, this is a remote. Why don't I use it as a remote? Well, it will need to install, so probably the next...
Can I ask a question?
Yeah?
So the strand at U and at the previous slide...
Yeah?
The strand at U and at Y, they could potentially be tangled together? Yeah.
Which strand for U and Y?
The little line that came out of you and...
this line? This little line?
Yeah.
You mean this little line?
Or the new one that you copied from Y?
This one is, it just follows the same path of Y. It's a parallel of Y.
But if Y is knotted, then you are copying the knot.
Indeed.
So they could be tangled together.
Yes.
Okay.
They will become tangled together.
Okay.
Okay, in as much as they can. In fact, they're not quite tangled together because, you see, this is a one-dimensional thing in R4.
Oh.
And this is, it's true that it's a two-dimensional thing, but it's thin, so it's effectively one-dimensional. This is a thin tube. So two one-dimensional things in R4 cannot be tangled with each other. However, Y could be tangled with other balloons, and then the new string of U will be rerouted through these other balloons. Okay? Okay.
Question?
Yeah?
Is there an issue of framing in four dimensions? Or do they just...
There is an issue. It is not visible here. It will be visible later. Oh, the remote started working. Good. Okay. Also, I asserted there is a map from knotted tubes. Here is a good notation for knotted tubes, or some notation for knotted tubes, into knotted balloons and hoops. And the map was, you take each tube, you make two copies of it. One you turn into a balloon, so you cap on one end and you plunge on the other end. And the other copy, the other copy would just be sort of a hair on the side of the tube. Okay, that's the blue stuff. Okay, so this is a map delta, which goes from tangles or W tangles to KBH. Okay? And then what I asserted is that if you apply the multiplication map of tangles, which amounts to saying that you connect the top of one, the head of one tube to the tail of another one using a very thin tube in between, so the assertion was that that this multiplication corresponds to the meta semi-direct product multiplication on KBH. So first you do the swap map, which I also call tail by head action. Sorry, I have two notations and I got confused and used the other one. Followed by head multiply, followed by tail multiply. Indeed, let's check it. So you do this multiplication, you do the tangle multiplication, then you apply delta, you get a picture that looks like this. Okay? In this picture, I have this thin tube going from the second balloon to the first. Right? But now what I can do is I can take the end of that thin tube and slide it along this balloon to near its tail, to near its string, to near its neck. So what I'm doing here now is an isotopy. I'm doing it in the dark side, but I have a guide. I'm sliding something along a guide. So I'm sliding it down to here, and that's what I get on one side. On the other side, well, I get this when I apply delta. When I do the swap map, the tail by head action, I just reroute this tail along this, I reroute this string along this strand, so it looks like this. Then I connect the two blues. This is the head multiply, so I get this picture. Then I connect the two balloons, and I get this picture, and it's the same picture, QED. Okay? So my best guess is that this also proves the homotopy theory problem, if you just appropriately reward everything, but I didn't even think it through. Okay? Okay, so my apologies. But anyway, the moral from this is that the moral from this and from some further work is that in order to understand W tangles, it's enough to understand knotted balloons and hoops and the three basic operations defined on them. Okay? So, by the way, you know, people ask me if it's natural, and I said, I don't know. I came to it after experimenting with many, many, many things. Okay? But at least from a homotopy theory perspective, it's natural, as Marcel reminded me this morning, right? So, in homotopy theory, you know, a tube is equal to S1 wedge S2, and it's clearly better to study embeddings or homotopy classes of maps from S1 and S2, where you have the entire theory of homotopy groups, rather than going on the left. So in some homotopy theory sense, what I'm doing is completely natural. Except it's not homotopy theory, it's embedding theory. Okay. Anyway, claim. There is, so basically I want to transfer everything from KBA, sorry, from the tangle world, from the W tangles world to the KBH world. So I claim that there is an expansion, a universal finite type invariant defined on KBHs with values on the A space corresponding to balloons and hoops. And furthermore, you get a commutative diagram. Okay? I guess I need to tell you what is ABH and what is this expansion. So ABH, well, of course, it will depend on a set of labels for the tails and a set of labels for the heads. So these are again balloons, and these are again hoops. And, it will be the usual A or WA of the skeleton corresponding to that. What's the skeleton corresponding to that? So each balloon, how do I represent a knotted sphere? Well, one way to do it is to take a knotted tube and cap it. Okay? So it will be the space of arrow diagrams on a skeleton that has T of these kind of capped lines, okay? And also H of the lines that I think I denoted them very briefly in, I forgot in what color, but clearly the appropriate color now is blue. Okay? So what are these lines? These are lines that correspond to knotted strands. So they can only receive arrows, but you can never have an arrow going out from a line like that. Again, because the arrows correspond to one thing surrounding another, and a line cannot surround anything, but it can be surrounded by something. So basically, these are the arrow diagrams that you can have here. Only heads on the H strands, either tails or heads on the T strands, the tubes if you wish. Okay? However, you mod out by the relation, you mod out by the usual relations, so all STUs, etc. But let me remind you that there was an additional relation, which is a head near a cap is equal to zero. So a head near a cap is equal to zero. Because basically, if you have a cap and it goes through something, you can slide it out. Do you remember this picture, or should I show it again? I hope you remember. Okay. Okay, so now I told you what ABH is, but I still have to tell you what Z is. Well, so suppose I had a diagrammatic representation of a KBH. How would you represent a KBH by a diagram? Well, it will just be, well, okay, you'll put it like before inside a rectangle, right, where I mean the edge of the rectangle is infinity, okay? You will draw a number of balloons. Balloons are just capped tubes. So I will have a number of capped tubes. Okay? That's not a terribly interesting one because I could slide it out. But I guess... well, okay, so I may be drawing a slightly uninteresting knot, okay? Sorry, I can slide this one out, so I want the last thing... Yeah, so maybe if I did it this way, then I couldn't, okay? So now it's actually an interesting KBH, okay? But also, I may have a few blue lines which cross either virtually against other things or under, but never over. Okay, because again, the convention is that under doesn't really mean under, it means through. Okay, and in fact, I may also have white-white virtual crossings. Okay, and also blue-blue virtual crossings. And I may have more than one of these, so I have a whole set of these. So this is labeled by head 1, this is labeled by tail 1, this is labeled by tail 2. Okay? So this is a representation of something in the domain. Now, how do I bring it to the target? So the answer is the exact same way as before, meaning I put, Marcel complained I did not have green on the handout, so I'll have green on the blackboard. So I just put an exponential of chords on every, oops, I have to put an exponential of chords on every, near every crossing, non-virtual crossing. So I'll have an exponential of, so this is an e to the chord, this is an e to the chord, and it's with plus minus, and I don't know what the orientations are. I didn't think about it. Okay? And even here you will also have an exponential of chords, but which is fine, because only the heads are on blue. Okay? Also, this is the definition of Z, period. Okay? And then, claim, and so this is sort of one place where time pressure forces me to be quick, okay? But the claim is that that you can complete this that there is a map corresponding to the delta map, which makes it into a commutative square. I guess I should tell you what the map corresponding to delta is, but maybe I will not prove the commutativity. But the commutativity is very, very easy. There is nothing there. It's just sort of you look at the you actually look at the arrows you get, and you find that it's the same set of arrows. Okay, so what is the map delta? So the map delta, so maybe I'll put it here, it should be a map, there should be a map delta going from WA of N strands, okay, into this space, so ABH of N heads and N tails. Okay? So basically, if you have an arrow diagram on normal N strands, I should be able to produce an arrow diagram on N of these and N of those. So basically, do the exact same thing that you do in the topology. In the topology, I replaced each tube by a parallel pair of a capped tube, meaning a sphere, and a line, and a strand, a string, okay? So do the exact same thing over here. So take the first one, replace it by a capped tube with parallel line. And then take the second one, replace it by a capped tube and a parallel line, and I'm getting bored. The third one is the same. Oops, you see? It's the same. Okay? And then, transfer every arrow from here to here, but transfer it as a sum. Okay? Except the term where the tail is on a blue stuff doesn't exist, so it has to be zero. So really, it's just a sum of two things. So each chord, each arrow becomes a sum of two things. You transfer the tail to the white line, to the capped line, and the head can decide between the two options. Likewise for the other one. So okay, and so this is the map delta, and by the way, it is reminiscent of the coproduct in the universal enveloping algebra, hence it's an appropriate name. Okay. So that's the map delta. And then the claim is that you get a commutative diagram. The proof of the claim, how should I say that, does not involve anything deep. You just write down a picture like this. You write the corresponding picture after applying lowercase delta. Basically, you write everything in pictures, and all the arrows match. So you don't need anything deep to prove this. Okay. So the moral is, or so far the moral is, that if I want to compute WZ, it's enough that I compute ZBH. It's the same. I don't lose anything by computing ZBH. So now I want to understand a little bit about ZBH. Okay? So, blunder. I wrote KBH is an algebra, but I wanted to say ABH is an algebra. So claim ABH of T and H is an algebra. In fact, it's a bialgebra with all the good properties as before, regardless of what T and H are. So, I mean, this delta, in fact, is an isomorphism. So, I mean, if T is equal to H, then it inherits an algebra structure from ordinary tangles, from the associated graded of ordinary tangles. but I claim it's an algebra independently. Okay? So, proof, or what is the algebra structure? The algebra structure is basically by merging tails and heads separately. Or said in a different language, I mean, this is like, so this is sort of an associated graded of an analog of, sorry, it's a but still in spirit, it's like pi 2 raised to the power t times pi 1 raised to the power h, right? But that's automatically a group, right? Any group to any power and is a group, okay? So more precisely, so suppose I had two diagrams of that kind. So I had a number of tails and a number of heads, and I had another such diagram, so same tails and same heads, okay? Then I could right, and sorry, and on top of this there is a core diagram. Here's a core, on top of this there is some core diagram, and on top of that there is another core diagram. Okay? Then I could just, concatenate. Okay, so this will go to the algebra multiplication, will send it to, well, you concatenate the heads, the hoops, okay? So these are just concatenated, and for the tails, you use the analog of tail multiply, meaning you do this. But I need an aside. I need to claim that A of like a split tongue snake is equal to A of, well, just a single tongue snake. So topologically, this is the statement that if you take two spheres and tube them together and put a tube connecting them, then you get a single sphere. But now I need the diagrammatic analog of that. Okay? For that, I need to know how to understand this vertex. In other words, so basically a core diagram on this skeleton would have chords beginning and ending on either of the two sides. And what I want is a relation that will allow me to slide them down or slide them off one of the two splits, branches. I want to be able to slide all arrow tails and heads off one of the branches so that I'll get something that lives on only one line. Okay? And, well, again, it's a matter of translating a little bit of topology into diagram language. So, if you remember, when I just started talking about KBHs, Sorry, not KBH, about W stuff, I mentioned that there are several vertices that I could use. And in particular, I had the smooth vertex, which really stood for a pair of pants. So connecting three tubes together by putting a pair of pants. Okay? Topologically, if anything wraps around the trunk and you push it up, it will wrap around both sides. However, if anything goes through one of the sides, then you can slide it to go down here, to go through here, or you can slide it to go through here. So again, there is a distinction between over and under. Okay? Now, in diagrammatic language, this means that the Rademeister theory around a vertex like this looks as follows. If something goes over, then you can slide it to go over on the other side. If something goes under, so this is sort of weird, okay? If something goes under, you can slide it to go under on the left, and then just pass to where it wants to go virtually, meaning just behind the picture or above the picture, I don't care. And this is also equal to, this is a smooth vertex. This is also equal to you go through virtually and go under this way. Okay? So again, this is just Rademeister. This is just how... You know, I'm basically telling you a tiny bit of stuff about the topology around one of those around a vertex like this, okay, where three tubes meet, okay. Anyway, this again translates to chord diagrams. So the bottom relation becomes the relation that if you have a, So I guess my arrows are green, so let me keep them green. So the bottom relation becomes if an arrow tail, you see, the over strand correspond to tails. So if an arrow tail starts near a smooth vertex, so if I have an arrow tail near a smooth vertex, then I can slide it to either the top or the, sorry, to either side of the top. So this is equal to that you can slide the arrow tail to either here or here. However, if you have an arrow, let me make some more room. However, if you have an arrow head near a smooth vertex, then you can slide it to the other side, but it becomes a sum. Okay? So, again, the picture will be an arrow head near a smooth vertex is equal to the sum of two ways of connecting it on the other side of the vertex. I don't know, these are odd rules, but I mean, they work. Okay? not only they work, they are dictated by the topology. I mean, I didn't use any creativity here, okay? I wasn't smart, I was just following the rules. Okay? So now the claim is that when you have a picture like this, you can slide all the cords off one of the strands. So how do you do that? Well, I think it's obvious. You basically, both rules are different. I mean, heads and tails are treated differently, but they both work. I mean, both allow you to slide stuff off. So, I mean, I'm not writing the result, but you get the result. Okay. How am I doing? It's more or less time to stop. So,
say a word about co-multiplication.
Oh, the co-multiplication is the usual co-multiplication. So, I want to apply the co-product to this. I just make two copies of the skeleton, and each arrow gets to choose independently whether it goes to the left or to the right.
Are the two copies somehow connected?
No. It's the same. I make two copies of the skeleton. I put a tensor product sign in between them, right? Because I'm supposed to go from A of that to A of that tensor itself, right? And then each arrow gets to choose independently which place to go. Okay? Anyway, so the next... So we will have a break, but the next couple steps will be.
Question.
Yeah.
Is the product well defined in a sense that you choose one balloon versus the other to do this sliding?
Yeah.
It is.
Oh, it's commutative. Yes.
Okay, I see.
Sorry, it's commutative on the balloon side. Okay. Anyway. Because it's the analog of the fact that pi 2 is commutative. Anyway, so the next thing will be, and I guess I will do it more and more briefly, but the next thing will be to analyze how the operations act, then switch to primitives. Maybe I'll first switch to primitives and then analyze how the operations act. And then we will see that all of these operations are, I wouldn't say standardly algebraic operations, but at least manageable. Okay? And then the last bit will be to mod out by some relations that kill completely almost everything, and what we will be left with will be the calculus from the beginning of yesterday, from this bicross product calculus that I mentioned at the beginning. Okay, so let's take a break.